Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, Danny, how do you feel about this joke? Like, really, really bad? Holster it level bad? Or like, oh, that's pretty good.
Okay.
On just a terrible dad joke scale, right?
Oh, yeah. But that's the best scale.
Yeah. So I got no play on this when I said it down the line, but maybe no one heard me. So here's what I'm thinking. Toby said Ryan Burgert's pitching today for the Padres. And I'm just glad the Nats are missing out on Robbie Hot Dog during this series.
Yep. So that's the kind of thing where your kids go, Dad, and other dads raise that hand above shoulder height, flat palm to you, and extend that hand, looking for you to return the favor for a high five. That's a dad
joke. Bad, though. You're okay with it that they're missing out on Robbie Hot Dog.
Of course I'm okay with it. Again, that is a dad joke, my friend. Are you a dad?
Good. Father of 3+.
I'm a dad. That's a dad joke. And when you make a dad joke around other dads, you high five and everyone else groans. That's when you know.
A fellow dad, a newish dad who just celebrated his first Father's Day is awaiting. Let's get to the Beltway Blitz, the Nats, the Wizards, the Commanders, and we start on the diamond with Bobby Blanco of Masson Sports. Bobby was working late night with the Nats last night as James Wood and the boys were battling 10 runs, home run number 22 for James Wood. Bobby, this is getting ridiculous. He's 22 years old, he might mess around and hit 50 this year. He's on pace for 45 at the midway point.
Well, I was about to say I'm missing Jake Berger playing for the Marlins because that was easy dad joke fodder throughout the course of the season, playing him 13 times, but I digress. James Wood is unbelievable. I mean, he is just on another world right now. I'm thinking back to like the end of May, maybe it was beginning of this month, when he kind of went through that like week and a half, I don't want to call it a slump. It was more of just like he was kind of in a funk where he wasn't hitting the ball. He got some bad luck with how hard he hits it. Sometimes it went right at defenders. But, that was very quickly, erased by him. And he's gotten back to what he's been doing all season long and what we've kind of expected from him at this point. It's just absolutely demolishing the ball. We know his ability to go the other way. Last night, pulled the ball down the right field line and hits the foul pole. For his 22nd homer. There's just nothing this guy can do. And, listening to C.J. Abrams talk about him, obviously them going back to San Diego for the first time, and they draw a lot of media attention out there. And I think someone asked C.J. about, what's it like watching James on a daily basis? And, I'm sure C.J. gets this question all the time, but he answered was like, yeah, it's really cool seeing him do something kind of crazy every single night. And that kind of sounds like, a buddy, dabbing up a buddy, kind of giving him like an easy answer. But CJ's not wrong. James kind of does something we don't normally see every single night, whether it's 450-foot bombs or, the home run he hit last night or some crazy thing in the left field. So, yeah, he is an all-star for sure and a budding superstar definitely in this lineup.
Bobby, what happened to K-Bear Ruiz? Is he okay?
Yeah, scary incident last night. I mean, I'm actually surprised this doesn't happen more often.
Same.
But a foul ball ricochets off of Josh Bell's bag, goes into the dugout, hits the back of the wall in there, and then hits K-Bear in the head. And, of course, it has to hit the catcher, right? The guy who gets foul tips off the face mask all the time, gets backswings hit in the back of his head all the time. And I feel like K-Bear just gets beat up a lot more so than a normal catcher. So, of course, it had to be him in the back of the head. They took him to get a CT scan. We haven't heard the results yet. We're waiting for Davey Martinez to announce that today, but I will be interested to see if Drew Millis isn't out there meeting the team in San Diego just in case, because they have Riley Adams and that's it for catching on that roster. And I think their emergency catchers are like Alex Call and Ahmed Rosario were catching warm up pitches last night when Riley was getting ready. So yeah, a scary sight. Hopefully Caber's okay and doesn't need an IL stint. Maybe he sits out the next couple of days. They have an off day Thursday, get some rest and get back in that lineup for the Anaheim series this weekend.
Yeah, Ahmed Rosario can't play the positions that he plays defensively. So I would hate to see him catch. That would be really, really problematic. Bobby, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yeah, guys, anytime. Thanks.
See you, dude.
You got it. Let's talk hoops. Pool's closed. Pool party's over. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here. Greg Finberg of Bullets Forever joins us now on Grant and Danny. Greg, why don't we start with the news of the day? Jordan Poole traded. What do you make of the deal?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Obviously it was being discussed, for a couple weeks, what his trade value could be, and I thought maybe they'd look the route of maybe, you know, looking to see if they can get draft capital for him, but they decided to go the salary dump route, which opens up cap space. They'll have $100 million plus in cap space in 2026. So probably looking at another losing season this year with the roster they have, with a bunch of vets and young guys trying to figure it out. But they take back McCollum, who's, you know, expiring $30 million salary next season. Obviously Kelly Olynyk as well. As Wizards fans know from that game 7 in 2017, he's $13 million expiring salary. So between Olynyk, McCollum, Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, they're going to be paying him around $97 million next year. But all four are off the caps for the following year. So, you know, obviously, Poole maybe could have netted some more draft capital, but the Wizards looked at the salary dump route. They're looking to contend, you know, probably from 2026 and on. So I view it as a salary dump. It's a bit shocking. I didn't think they would actually, you know, pull the trigger and move them, but it opens up minutes for other guys like Bub Carrington, AJ Johnson, and all that. So, you know, I can make sense of it for sure.
Greg, what do you think the McCollum plan is? Is it say, hey, will you come off the bench for a while? Is it give him a chance to build his value for 25, 30 games? Is it he never plays here because he gets bought out and they take the cap space at the end of the day? What do you think is going to happen here with McCollum?
It's interesting, right? I mean, he's an expiring salary, so what they could do is what they've done with some of the veterans. You know, they've tried to move some of them. They got off Valanciunas' contract. They moved Daniel Gafford when he was an expiring deal. So, you know, they've been able to do it in some cases, but they held on to guys like Tyus Jones and Landry Shamet. So it's possible if they can't find a trade for him, which might be tough considering he's making $30 million. But he also averaged 21 points per game last year, shot 44% from the field, 41% from three over his last 10 games. He scored 50 on the Wizards if anybody watched that game in New Orleans last year. So, you know, this is a guy that still has game. He's in his early 30s. So, like, it's a good guy from Bub Carrington to learn from. Bub Carrington's a guy who likes the mid-range. CJ McCollum does as well. So certainly I'm sure they'll keep him through the beginning part of the season, see what his value is at the deadline, and that's if they don't move him at the draft. But he certainly has value. It's just a matter of, you know, is somebody willing to take back $30 million in expiring salary? It's a little difficult, but he can still play, and it's definitely a good veteran for the younger guys to learn from.
All right, Greg, the draft is tomorrow. I'm going to give you three categories for answers. He'll fill in the blank. Best case scenario that you'd be thrilled by, likely solid scenario, and then something that would leave you underwhelmed and disappointed when the night ends.
Best case scenario for me would be the top four goes Flag, Harper, and then some combination of Edgecombe and Konkanipple, 3-4, which so I think it will go. And the Wizards sat there at 6. They don't have to move up, and they're guaranteed either Trey Johnson out of Texas or Ace Bailey out of Rutgers. That means that the Wizards don't have to give up a plethora of assets to move up. And to me, they still get a top three, top four player in this class that can certainly help their offense, which was, you know, dead last in efficiency and rating each of the last 2 years. So they can definitely use one of them. If that's the case and one of them is guaranteed to be there, that would be ideal. In terms of something I can live with, it would be Johnson and Bailey are both off the board, and Jeremiah Fears is there at number 6. Obviously, a lot of people thought that it could be a little tough with Jordan Poole still being here, but now that he's gone, lead guard minutes are open, could go to Fears, could go to Bub. So I think that would make sense, too. Apparently, the Wizards brought him in for a workout, and they like him. Something I couldn't get behind would be Kaman Malawak. I just, you know, I don't feel like that's a good combination with Star in the front court. Would certainly lead to offensive of spacing issues, possibly switchability issues on defense. I know a lot of people say you can't teach size, but that's just the pick that I couldn't get behind.
What about at 18? Is that used in trade? Do they stay there and take somebody? I mean, how do you feel about that one?
18 is certainly interesting because if you know Will Dawkins, each of the last two drafts, he's traded up to get his guy. He gave up a pair of seconds to get Bilal Coulibaly, and that was just a minor jump. And then last year, obviously, trading Danny Avdia in part to acquire the 14th pick to get Bub Carrington, then traded up again two spots to get Keyshawn George. So he's a guy at GM that isn't afraid to go up and trade for the guy he wants. And the Wizards now have 18. There's going to be some guys that might fall. You got the local kid in Derek Queen that could fall. Yegor Demon out of BYU. Noah Senge, a French product. The Wizards clearly covet French players and guys that have the length and size that he has. So So I could see a minor trade-up where the Wizards take 18 and someone like Corey Kispert or some veteran that they have on the team, whatever they do, I could see them kind of being aggressive there and trying to trade up. If they stay at 18, there will certainly be talent there. But I wouldn't be shocked if they try to get back into that lottery for another pick.
Greg, thank you, buddy. Good info.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
Let's talk football. And to talk about the Commanders, our pal Kevin Sheehan. He is on a radio show named The Kevin Sheehan Show, aptly. Kevin, a lot of things we could talk to you about, but I want to start with the uniform stuff. You know, we've been talking on the show for months. I heard a long time ago they were going back to older-looking 91 Super Bowl-esque uniforms. I thought maybe this year, sounds like they're only going to use them as alternates, and then in the future they'll wear something along those lines. But what have you been hearing and kind of get us up to speed on the timeline? Sounds like from what I've gathered talking to people with the team, something's going to drop closer to training camp, but they're not ready to make the announcement just yet.
Yeah, I mean, all I did, Grant, on the show yesterday was answer an email about the uniforms and reiterate what I had back in October, which was the name was still up for grabs, but they were probably going to do something with the uniforms, and it was going to be a uniform that went back to looking like the old uniforms. They would use them as alts. When they told me this in October, and I talked about it on the show, next year, meaning 2025, and then they would try to blend it into something more permanent after that.
Do they have enough blue chippers, like high-end talent? I know Bobby Wagner made first-team All-Pro last year, but do they have enough guys that when things aren't going great, they can just, you know, take over and fix it? We saw Daniels do that last year, but against a more difficult schedule coming up this year. Do they have enough stars?
God, do you remember those days when it was like, all right, who's the star after Trent Williams?
Uh-huh.
Danny, they've got the star quarterback. That's what you need more than anything else. After that, you know, I think they might have a star at left tackle and Laramie Tunsil, who they traded for. I'm a big Luvu guy. I thought pound for pound last year, you know, he was, you know, debatably the second or third best player on the team after Jaden and Terry. It's the quarterback is obviously, you know, a blue chipper, an A-plus player at the most important position. You've got an A-plus player at left tackle, and you've got a really good wide receiver, and I think a really good and versatile, you know, defensive player in Luvu, whose star might be really on the rise in year two here.
Totally agree with you. Love Luvu. Is there a chance, with the way things are set up on the edge right now, that he actually gets an opportunity to rush the quarterback, standing up a whole lot more? And next thing you know, he gets 12 and a half sacks or something, and now he gets a lot of the love and the fanfare that maybe you miss out on.
Definitely. I mean, he is that kind of player. I mean, he is a speed. He's a speed rusher. He's got that level of talent. I wouldn't be surprised at all if in year two they use him more. You know, whether it's on the edge lining up, you know, in a three-point stance or up, you know, as a move-around Micah Parsons kind of player like they did at times last year. But I could definitely see him leading the team in sacks. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody like Wise or Armstrong ended up having, you know, a big year too. Armstrong really came on at the end of the year, especially in the postseason. But I see the same thing, Grant, for Luvu.
Kevin, where are you at on Deebo Samuel? To me, this is a great value. If we get what he did last year in kind of an injury-plagued, overweight season, whatever you want to call it, I would take that as their second-best receiver option. And I put that in quotation marks because he's more weapon. But do you expect a bigger year than last year? Is it started the decline? Kind of give me your temperature check.
I mean, my hunch is he's in for a big season. He'll be used in a way that'll benefit him. He's got a quarterback. And he's in a contract situation in year. The key, Danny, right, is he's just got to stay healthy. He's got to be in shape, and he's got to stay healthy. I think the former happens. Hopefully he's able to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, I think he has a big year here in this system.
Kevin Sheehan on Grant and Danny. I'm going to slide one in real quick because I know you love hoops. The NBA draft is tomorrow. If you get your way at 6, what breaks for the Wizards?
God, I was just listening to your last guest and was listening to the trade. I had not heard about it. Anybody but Ace Bailey. I'm not an Ace Bailey fan. I saw him play up close and personal at Maryland. Derek Queen abused him. He left the game. He tapped out with 4 points and said he was sick. Now, I watched him against Northwestern, and he was awesome. But there's something that just rubbed me the wrong way when he tapped out in College Park after Queen owned him. I really like Trey Johnson there. I'm a big Derek Queen guy. I'm hoping that maybe from 18 they can move up and take Queen. I think he's just flat out a basketball player, and I love the kid from BYU, but that would be more in line of, you know, at 18 or trading up for it. But Trey Johnson's going to be a big-time scorer at the next level. You just don't know. I just am not a big Ace Bailey guy, and it seems like everybody else is.
Kevin, great as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, talk soon, guys. Thanks.
See you, bud.
You got it. Kevin Sheehan on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Speaking of the Wizards, Jordan Poole was traded about an hour ago. Brian Geltzeiler is going to give us some national perspective on why they made that move and what is the chance that they've got the next point guard star in the association, Bob Carrington, waiting in the wings. That's next right here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. June 24th, we are finally within a day of the NBA draft and finding out what the Wizards are going to do with the sixth pick. It's not what we wanted. We were hoping they'd be on the clock at one and it'd be Cooper Flagg time, but that has not been the case. Let's chat with one of our favorite NBA analysts in the country, always brings the energy and the insight, a host on SiriusXM NBA Radio and a contributor on NBA TV, Brian Geltzeiler, to get a little national perspective on all things Wiz. Brian, we got to start ahead of the draft now with the trade today. Reason we got you on, actually, Jordan Poole moved. They get more money that they can eventually get out of. You know, they're due to have like $115 million coming off the books now after this season. What'd you think of the Poole trade?
Well, so listen, essentially what the Wizards did here is they gave up the number 40 pick to get out of the last year of Jordan Poole's deal. And when you look at where they'll be next season regarding cap space, it's about $110 million. Now, you know, you have to understand that sounds very exciting on the surface to fans. The bottom line is this, the way this system is set up in the NBA, that free agency can be slim picking sometimes. Most of your big players and your higher profile and better players in the league are signing extensions with their current teams. Acquiring players via trade has been the much more frequent method of bringing guys in than signing free agents in this new CBA, which essentially this whole second apron era, and the second apron functions as a hard cap. With all that said, in any marketplace, having that kind of financial flexibility gives you a lot of options. So what I would tell you here with the Wizards is they put themselves in great position to be able to, A, bring somebody in without having to send a big salary out if they have an opportunity to make a trade for a major player. Or if that's not available, there's always bad contracts in the NBA. There are owners and lead personnel executives that make financial decisions, bad financial decisions every offseason. So the Wizards are in a position to rent cap space and collect draft capital as payment for that rental. So I think it's a very good position they put themselves in. I like this trade for the Wizards. I think with where they are pick-wise and where they're going, number 40 in this draft is not all that big a deal. And, yes, it only got you out of one extra year of Jordan Poole. But the other thing is this, and I think it's important to note, Jordan Poole, his style of play, I'm not referring to him personally, but his style of play
is not team basketball and can be somewhat toxic to a young team that's building. And I do think there's an addition by subtraction element here that's going to help younger players like Koulibaly and Sarr and whoever the Wizards go draft in this draft to be able to develop more with the fact that there will be some touches and there will be some usage, because Jordan Poole's the type of guy on the offensive end of the floor that breathes all the air in the room. That's just his nature. That's who he is. It's one of the reasons why he didn't fit all that well in Golden State.
So, Brian, I want to jump on one of the things that you said. I think you're exactly right. I mean, free agency now means overpaying for Dylan Brooks or something to that effect, which isn't that exciting, because and sort of the trade market is where it's at. How do they best position themselves for that using this cap space? Love for you to go into that, because I think you touched on it in terms of taking on other people's trash, some of these bad contracts, because now you've got the flexibility to do so to acquire enough assets.
Well, listen, you know, so now they got McCollum and now they have Middleton, and both of those are Middleton just opted in earlier this week. Those are both expiring deals after this season. And again, that'll all come off the books. So, you know, how do you use that cap space? Again, if there's a player you like out there, and I'll give you a great example of a guy, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with him. But this, I point this guy out because this is the type of guy the Wizards are going to be looking at next year. Jonathan Kuminga. So, like, that's where the kind of player, if I'm the Wizards, I would maybe overpay on a restricted free agency deal for him. And again, they're not going to be able to do that this year because they have those two deals on the books. Now, maybe they could execute some kind of sign and trade, and the Warriors wouldn't mind having that financial flexibility. But that's the kind of player that you're talking about if you're going to go sign a free agent. A young guy who's coming off his first contract in the league, his rookie scale deal, and you know has talent, you've seen enough production to know that he can be something, but for whatever reason didn't fit in well where he was. Those are the kinds of guys. But if you can't get one of those guys, it doesn't mean that cap space is a waste. Because when I talk about the concept of renting cap space, so taking someone else's really bad contract. Listen, the Wizards they signed Kyle Kuzma to what ended up being a bad contract. They were able to trade him and get him off the books for a shorter contract in Middleton, and that was actually a very good deal for them. But that's the type of player you would take off somebody's hands. Another example of a guy, and again, you know, if Philly wants to give you draft capital to take Paul George's deal at the end of this year, and there's only 2 years left on a deal, well, depending upon the level of draft capital, maybe you do it. But that's the kind of guy that you're looking at when it comes to renting a cash space. Here's another point about the cash space that's very, very important. Make sure you're carving out enough numbers that when Koulibaly's time comes for a second contract and Alex Sarr's time comes for a second contract, that you have plenty of money available to pay those guys. Because I do think in Koulibaly's 2 years and Alex Sarr's 1 year in the league, they have shown you that they are part of what's going to be the long-term solution for the Washington Wizards.
Brian Geltzeiler on Grant and Danny. So let's just say hypothetically the master plan goes beautifully, and in a couple of years, 3 years, whatever it is, the Wizards are, you know, playing in a deep Eastern Conference series because everything went exactly how Will Dawkins was hoping it was going to. Just fill in that blank for me. Like, what does that look like over the next few off seasons? We keep comping them, not to the Thunder in terms of talent, but, hey, you just stay super flexible. You develop this young core. I don't know where their SGA is coming from. That's kind of the big area of concern. But, like, if I'm telling you in 3 years they're the it team and everyone's going, oh, my God, look how they did this. Like, what happened?
So here's you can't compare anyone to the Thunder right now, just because the Thunder had the benefit of a launching pad type of trade. They brought in a player that ended up, you know, putting himself in a class with Michael Jordan, Kareem, and Shaq for what he was able to accomplish with a scoring title, a league MVP, and a finals MVP. So it's really an apples to oranges comparison. The other hard part for them is, even if you compare them to a team like a Houston, okay, who was able to load up on picks because of a Harden trade, like that helped them, because of a Westbrook trade, that helped them. So they were able to accumulate picks that way. The Wizards just didn't have that kind of play and were able to do that. Probably the Wizards' biggest sin was how long they held Bradley Beal and not giving him a no-trade clause. Because the reality was, there was years where teams were willing to pony up multiple firsts, and Beal could have been that leverage point like Houston used with James Harden to be able to bring in some guys that really could help them, and they, or some picks, I should say, but to have that kind of, you know,
young player plus two pick, young player plus three pick deal. The Wizards aren't going to have that. They kind of have to stick with their own. So what are they going to do to build draft capital? Well, if we can't sign the right kind of free agent, we rent the cap space. And that's kind of what this looks like. And and on one hand, guys, it sucks for fans because it's playing the long game. And you're going to have to play the long game here. Listen, what the Thunder did is, I don't care, you know, second apron or non-second apron, it's not commonplace in the NBA. You don't go from 2 years ago be the 24-win team and 2 years later win an NBA title. That's almost unheard of. But then you look at how Sam Presti put that together. And by the way, he didn't trade one first-round draft pick to be able to build a title contender. Just drafted guys, made a smart trade with Giddey, one good free agency signing with Hartenstein, and everything else was homegrown and built that way. But they had more bites at the apple than any other team has had and still are going to have more. The Wizards just, because they didn't have, when they had that player, they didn't trade him in time, they don't have that. Not to say they can't do it, but it's going to extend the rebuild a little bit, and they're going to be in a situation where the most important thing for the Washington Wizards going forward is not going to be trades like this, is making the right financial decisions on how much to pay guys and who to sign to second contracts. That's why I turn around and I go back to the fact that both Koulibaly and Sarr have shown you enough that they're long-term solutions here. Just make sure you have the right money reserved for them to keep them on board when the time comes.
Brian Geltzeiler with us here on Grant and Danny. So to that end, assuming steps forward for these young guys like Koulibaly, like Alex Sarr, like Bob Carrington to a degree, maybe even Keshawn George, ultimately, it's easy to say, yeah, they need a star, but what kind of player fits the best ultimately with that group? Sort of thinking about what, not only the draft, but maybe sort of the target here over the next year or two, Brian, where you go, they need an elite wing, or they need an elite big, or an elite point guard, something like that. When you look at this group and kind of around these young kids, what's the thing that they need? What type of player should they be looking at?
They're not there yet, and I say that in this way. Get talent, 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 and talent. Bring in talented guys. The other thing I would say is this. Don't get too hung up on timeline. Listen, you don't want guys on the north side of 30, but if you have an opportunity to bring in a 27-year-old player at the beginning of his prime and you got to pay him a little bit of extra to do it, well, you go ahead and do it. Kind of like you look for the Knicks version of Jalen Brunson. Like Knicks had Jalen Brunson, they were able to do that with and bring in on a contract that people were scratching their heads a little bit, considering it was like double what the Mavs had offered. But it ended up being a fantastic bargain deal for them. That's the one point that I'll say is that, listen, you're going to want that kind of mature guard there to be able to lead the way. But who is that guy? Is that guy going to be available? Listen, interesting trade went down last night regarding the Celtics and the Portland Trailblazers. Anthony Simons was brought to Boston not to be a long-term solution in Boston, but to help them get off Holiday's money. Well, Anthony Simons, his free agency is going to coincide with the Wizards having a lot of that money. You know, Simons is he's a professional scorer. I don't know how well he guards. He doesn't pass that great, but he's a professional scorer. My point being is if Simons goes to Boston and the Joe Mazzulla system seems to fit him, and, you know, he improves, and their good player development program develops them, and he can go make more money with the Wizards than he can staying with the Celtics. Maybe he's interested in that. So that's the kind of example of a guy who has already had a second contract, came into the league very young, but you're going to get a guy at the age of 24, 25 that's ready to contribute on a big level and can see him improve under your watch. That's the kind of guy that you're looking at. But again, this is an important point to make to Wizards fans. You're not in roster building mode yet. You're still in asset accumulation mode. You just need more good players there. And that's why what happens tomorrow night with this number six picks, very, very important to them. They're going to have to be able to go get themselves a guy that is going to be a long-term solution, and it doesn't matter what position he plays.
All right, so let's talk about adding more talent then really quickly, Brian, with the draft. Tomorrow they've got the sixth pick. So Danny and I have kind of narrowed things down to a perfect world where they're debating between Trey Johnson and Ace Bailey. I guess, number one, do you agree that that would be really ideal for them at six? Who would you take of those two guys for them? Or is there another player, whether that's, you know, Knipple or somebody else, that you actually think would be a really good fit? Like, what would be your best-case scenario for them?
I'm afraid of Trey Johnson. I'll come out and say that right now. Trey Johnson is he never met a shot he didn't like. And although he is a very good, tough shot maker, his stats near the rim were alarmingly bad. Like, the other thing is, for a guy that's a good, tough shot maker and plays offense the way he does, he's kind of an average-ish athlete. So I don't know that he's going to be anything on the other end of the floor. I think this, and Trey Johnson is one of the polarizing prospects in this draft. If Ace Bailey falls to you at five on a talent basis, you must select him. That's how I feel. If I'm the Wizards, I would not pass on Ace Bailey there. I know there are some shot selection issues regarding Ace Bailey as well. I know that it's been a very clumsy handling of workouts and how he's handled this stuff, and I'm not exactly sure what the end game is for the guys that are advising him. But with that said, too talented for the Wizards to pass on. They'll figure it out. You mentioned Konkanepo. I love the player. I just do. I think he's Luka Light. I play so well off 2 feet, can get his own shot, additive in every way, good catch and shoot guy, good off the dribble, smart, instinctive, great kid, competes on defense, even though athletically he's probably not going to be a premium defender. You can't have enough players like Konkanepo in your system. So my point being is if that's where they end up going, I'll have no problem with that. One other guy that I think is interesting, I think he's interesting for any team that's pretty much picking after four, is Malawak out of Duke. And I would not hesitate if I were the Wizards to grab him and put him at center and let Alex Saar play the four next to him. Because one of the things you saw with Alex Saar, he was drafted as a five. He showed you this year, between some of the long-range shooting and his ability to guard the perimeter, that he could really be a big four. And play quite well on both ends of the floor on the perimeter and still give you that whole shot blocking type of thing. And when you look at whether it's Saar and Malawak there, or if you're bringing in Ace Bailey, you're adding Saar's a great athlete. You add another big-time athlete like an Ace Bailey there to him, now you're starting to move in the right direction. So I threw two guys at you regarding Konkanepo and Malawak. Trey Johnson will be the one in that spot I would avoid. The other guy that to me I would stay the heck away from is Jeremiah Fears in Oklahoma, just because he's another one. Struggles around the rim hitting layups. His efficiency stats were not really good. His counting stats were good. His efficiency stats were not really good. Volume shooter a little bit. And I worry about his level of athleticism also. And it's tough for guards to translate into the league. Remember 2 years ago how everybody was talking about Scoot Henderson being a can't-miss prospect. I mean, he started to get it in the second half of last year, but he's really, really struggled. Fears isn't anywhere close to the prospect Scoot Henderson was. And so I'd be careful there too. So to me, I'd be happy with one of those two Duke guys or Ace Bailey for the Wizards at number six.
Brian, great as always, man. Great to catch up with you, buddy. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Brian Geltzeiler of NBA Radio with us here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Austin Eckler is joining us in 17 minutes. We'll get an off-season check-in with Eckler. Also next hour, is it too soon to take great offense to Jaden Daniels not ranking high enough in quarterback rankings after just one spectacular season? This is The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Commercial break, I had to run to the little boys room, and generally you see things in the bathroom, you don't talk about them on the radio right after,
right?
But I saw something interesting enough that I'm going to talk about it on the radio.
Oh,
right?
My God.
After,
yeah, go for it.
And I hopefully that you know, the guy that was in there that I'm referencing doesn't hear this, but whatever, he washed his hands.
Okay,
he came in and washed his hands, and then he went and sat on the toilet
on the throne after,
like, went into the— yeah, he went into the stall after that, and I heard him, like, sit down and kind of get comfortable and situated. Washing your hands before that activity is an interesting choice. Now, maybe he'll wash his hands again after,
you would
and
hope
that'll
he
be the
does.
Bread of the sandwich.
Yeah.
But have you ever seen— – I mean, there's a reason. Maybe he just got out of his car and there was something on his hand checking his tire or something.
That's my first thought is, something— – I don't know how to say this, something sticky, like there, you know, honey is on your fingers or dirt's on your fingers,
right,
and you want a clean palate, so to speak, before you take care of any kind of business. I don't know.
Well, here's the weirdest part.
Yeah.
I overheard this all. He was wiping after he sat down before anything happened.
Oh.
That part I'm kidding about.
Oh, thank you. I'm like, wait a minute.
You were going to just go silent.
My brain is racing. I mean, it's a great thing right. for the audio medium we have here, but I'm going a million miles an hour. I'm going, what? Wait, what? Wait. And this person
the
just
best
came
part
from
is-
the crime scene, or he's on his way to one, to make one?
No, all I like, know is know he washed his hands. And
okay.
Then he went and sat down. I found that interesting. Hey, I just did the FanDuel mentioned during the commercial break. I'm a FanDuel guy. It's Dinger Tuesday, so they have this great offer where you can bet on home runs. Yesterday, I got a tweet, as did several other members of our radio station here. I think you were on this chat.
Yes.
I believe this is from a listener of ours, a 106.7 The Fan listener. How about this? So this guy bet $11 on a parlay of a bunch of home runs. Now, I've done this 100 times. I've never gotten close to hitting one of these. It's just a fool's errand. This is how you give money to FanDuel if you're interested in doing that. This guy bet $11 on what is a 7-leg parlay.
Well, 7-leg.
Okay. In fact, yeah, 7 legs of different players who all have to hit homers yesterday. Aaron Judge, Ellie De La Cruz, Ronald Acuna, Cal Raleigh, Ketel Marte, Christian Yelich, and James Wood.
These are all home run hitting people. They hit home runs all the time, but asking do it? Yeah.
Some of them are. I mean, Christian Yelich doesn't really hit
That's
a lot
true.
Of home
That's
runs
true.
At all, which had the longest odds. But otherwise, yes, Judge hits a lot. De La Cruz in the same game. They both need the homer. That's hard to land that plane. Acuna's been on a tear, so that's not crazy to me. But Yelich hitting a home run, you know, James Wood on the road in San Diego when he's been already hitting several recently, you wonder if he's got one in the bag that night. But you need 7 guys to do it, and they all did. So his $11, this listener of ours, who's a local guy, it seems like, won $100,000 on that parlay last night when James Wood's home run hit the foul pole for the final leg.
Amazing. Can you imagine
what
the
is
ghost
that reaction
foul?
Like?
Yeah. Like, I
by
can't
inches.
Tell you. Yeah.
By inches.
Mm-hmm.
You go from $11 to $100,000. And that's these screen grabs of these wins are why people do it. And you don't see the 100 times that they didn't win, right? They're not showing you that he's done this every single night. But regardless, still, it takes one of these, and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, and the rest of your bets for life are, you know, you're playing with house money. 11 turned into $100,000, and this is not just some random story of someone cross country. Best I can tell, this is one of our listeners locally to 106.7 The Fan who
Incredible.
Hit this parlay.
Just so amazing, right? I mean, that's how when the – you're talking about FanDuel. When the FanDuel DraftKings wars were at its hottest, right, when every other ad – was for, you know, win big, win the $1 million prize, whatever, whatever. Each week there's one. It's you see like just a dude. You know, I don't know how to describe it better. It's not some computer nerd with a pocket protector and an algorithm and you know, horn-rimmed glasses. It's just like a regular dude bro who's like, I took Justin Jefferson and he wins $1 million. And like that's who's in the ad. And it's like, it just seems like it's right there. All you got to do is pick the right combo of players. You bet $2, you win $1 million. You know what I mean? It's like it's so close. Like, oh, I almost put in Saquon Barkley and paid up for him that time. Instead, I went with Tyrone Tracy to try to go cheap or whatever. It's always like a player away or something really, really close, you know? But to your point, it just seems so reasonable. Now, Yelich is a bit of a stretch, but 6 guys who seemingly are on fire, hitting homers, hitting a home run any given night is not that crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it makes it seem like it's so damn tangible.
Wild, but congratulations
awesome,
to
man.
Him. And I don't know, I'm putting that right in a bank somewhere or in an account and letting it work for me. But maybe he goes and gets himself a new car or who knows.
Ain't
the
no
world
answer.
Is his oyster. Bet he has a nice steak tonight somewhere listening in the DMV. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our regular from the Commanders operation all season long. Last football season was Austin Eckler. We haven't caught up with our guy since the end of last year. So looking forward to chatting with him next, right at the top of the hour on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.